Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, good evening, welcome to Jesus, the Only Way Radio Blog. To all those out there listening, let's give God some praise. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Glory, hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Today we have group thoughts on prayer hindrances and talking with God. We have a lot to cover in a short period of time, so let us all be brief with our comments so that we can get through all and to be able to cover everything in on one accord. And before we start, we're going to have Sister Beverly open us up in prayer.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, we do come to give praise and glory and honor to you this day. And we just thank you, Father God, for the subject matter that you are allowing us to speak about today, the subject matter of prayer. And, Father, we just thank you, Father God, for this awesome, awesome privilege as a means of communicating and fellowshipping with you through prayer, Father God. And through prayer, you allow us not only to talk to you about those things that concern us, but to come and to intercede for one another. And your word tells us that we should pray one for another. Father, I pray that everything that you want said and discussed here this day in this setting will be said, and that someone, Father God, will receive it and be blessed by it. And we thank you once again just for allowing us this privilege. And we just say this in the mighty and awesome name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hindrances to prayer. The aim of prayer is communication with God, praising God for his goodness and righteousness, and thanking him for his blessings received. Also, it is a request for needs to be supplied, and God will meet our needs with his directions and his instructions. And sometimes, we don't hear from God. It's not that God is not listening. We have to figure out why he is not answering. And these are a few things that will cause us not to hear from God. And I'm going to briefly go through them, and then we're going to go back so that you guys can talk about what may be troubling you or maybe things that you might be going through. The number one is obedience as a child of God. Number two is sin. Number three is lack of faith. Number four, we do not ask. Number five, wrong motive. Number six, not praying in God's will. Seven, unforgiving spirit. Eight, lack of praise, thankfulness, and love. Nine, failure to resist Satan. 10, praying to other gods. 11, not waiting on God. And 12, refusing to do our part. 13, stinginess in giving. 14, repetition. 15, believing God is obligated. 16, family relationships. 17, lack of time. And the last one is not praying in Jesus' name. Okay, now we're going to go up to the obedient child of God. Before addressing God as Father, we must first be his child. Calling God our Father means being under his authority, obeying his commands, and doing his will. When we call Jesus Lord, yet do not do his will, we are not acting as children of God. Does anyone want to comment on that?
Well, I'd like for you to say that again, because I'm having kind of static on my end. I wasn't hearing it all.
Okay, it's obedience as a child of God. Before addressing God as Father, we must first be his child. Calling God our Father means being under his authority, obeying his commands, and doing his will. And when we call Jesus Lord, yet do not do his will, we are not acting as children of God. And so I guess if you guys have any comments on that, I guess for me, sometimes I want things in a hurry. I want it done now. And sometimes I don't wait on God, or sometimes I believe in him, but then it's not going fast enough, so I go trying to do it on my own accord, and that's not good because I'm not being obedient to God, doing what he has instructed me to do. And I do that here and there, but sometimes I have to talk to myself and tell myself, you know, trust God, wait on him, do his will, praise his name, things like that. Does anyone have any comments on that one? Being as obedient child of God?
It's always one thing to want something from God and then not to be walking in his ways, but still expecting that he's going to answer you. And as you were saying, like, if you are an obedient child of God, if you're a child of God, you're going to want to do things that God would have you to do and not out there just doing your own thing, because that definitely is going to be hampering you, because you're saying one thing, but you're doing another. So your trust is really not in God, and you being disobedient to him in that manner.
Mm-hmm. Amen on that one.
And when you say you want things right away, when things come up, this is one of the examples that I see when the Lord moves. And then I think about, when do we want him? When did this happen? That we want him to answer us quickly. And I think about it, he says, as long as you live your life with integrity, He will not deny any good thing for you. So
amen.
I think about that's what it is, what we want and how we want it. And then what do we want it for? Because if it's the Lord, he's going to give it to us, but it also means that we have to sit back, be quiet, and wait. That's one of the things that I always think about, and that's what works. A lot of times we have to have that patience to be quiet. He said he's our Father, and he will give us those things when we need them. We have to remember when we need them. He's always on time, but we ones don't.
Amen.
Well, and a lot of times, too, when we pray, sometimes we pray selfishly. And then the thing that we pray to God, too, and when he doesn't answer us in the time span that we expect, do we ever just think that maybe God is protecting us from that particular blessing at that particular moment? Because, and I give you an example, have you ever went to the store and went to get something, and then you get a feeling, no, I'm not going to get that today. But then maybe 2 or 3 days later, you go back, that same item is still there, and you get it, and you feel good about it. Anyone? Hello? Hello?
Yes. Yes. Back on that, there was a time when I had wanted to get a car, and I was all gung-ho for getting a car and everything, and I was gung-ho on getting the car and everything, and so I went out looking, and all of a sudden, while I was out looking for the automobile, I just felt something in my spirit tell me, no, don't get it. And so I didn't get the car, and I came back home, and plus, you know, was thinking I had, you know, gotten this car and everything. But what happened was, make a long story short, is that the Lord was holding me back at that time from getting that car because he knew that I was about to be downsized from my job. And so that was a blessing not to have gotten the car at that particular time. And he blessed a little bit later, but that was a blessing.
There you go.
Yeah, because I always feel that we have God has built an alarm system within our being that will signal us when to do something and not to do something. Not feeling good about it. Because, okay, we go to 2 Corinthians 12:9 when Paul besought the Lord 3 times about a thorn in his flesh, where Satan had, an angel of Satan had buffeted him. And he told him his grace is sufficient. So the problem sometimes we have, we just don't want to be patient and let God's grace work through us according to his will.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Okay. We're going to go into the things that cause us not to hear from God. And the second one here is sin. What do you guys have to say about that one? Nothing?
Well, definitely, as a Christian, we should know that if you're sinning, whatever that sin might be, that's going to be hampering God from wanting to listen to anything that you're talking about. And that sin could be any number of things. And one of the sins that I think people sweep under the rug a lot of times is when they're holding grudges and unforgiveness towards people, they don't realize it's really a sin. And that type of stuff is really going to hold God back from wanting to hear what you've got to say, because as far as God is concerned, at least I'm thinking, you need to go and settle this issue about this unforgiveness and this resentfulness and all that other stuff, because sometimes people think as long as I'm tithing, as long as I'm treating everybody else over here okay, it's okay for me to be hating this way. But no, it's not. And that type of stuff is going to hamper God from, it's going to prevent God from wanting to answer your prayer till you get right with him. That's my thought about it.
Amen on that one. That's true.
Also, you have to strip yourself off of sin and the sins that you that tripped you up because, okay, you have self-indulgence, you got the tongue, you got the flesh, covetousness, immorality, pride, selfish ambition, worldly friends that will hold you back. Then you have some of us have uncontrollable anger. And those, mm-hmm. to me, are the hindrance of prayer, lying behavior, idleness, seeking things that are not of God, and not continually to run that race with preservation that God has set you on. Sometimes we take a detour. And when we take a detour, how can you expect the Spirit to stand up for you when you go through the trials of life if when you won't let God conquer those things within your being, which is your heart?
Amen. It says in Proverbs 28:13, he who conceals his sin doesn't prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. So that was a good one for sin. All right, we're going to move on. The next one that causing us not to hear from God in our prayer is lack of faith. What do you guys think about that one? Lack of faith.
Well, I would say you go to 1 Peter 4 chapter and 17 verse, and Peter speaks that the time has come, you know, that judgment must begin at the house of God. And it begins with us. It first begins with us. And to them that obey not the gospel of God. Now, are you obeying the gospel? Are you continuing to be in your faith? But the thing, and also the scripture says, you don't let the sun go down with wrath. In other words, you don't go to sleep angry, holding grudges. And then you get on your knees and pray, but you still got this anger. You have not let go and let God.
Amen. I don't think people go and ask for prayer. Everybody prays. Everybody says amen. And then they go on about their ways. And then as soon as they get home, they're talking about whatever that issue is after they already prayed about it. So I don't say this lack of faith, not believing.
Well, that lack of faith shows up when you take on that burden of worrying. You know what I'm saying? I mean, faith is that you're going to trust God in this situation no matter what. So you don't need to continue. I mean, you can think about something. It's a difference in kind of having something just float across your mind every now and then, but to sit there and just worry, 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 when you say that you have given it to God, I mean, this is where faith steps in. Are you really giving it to God? If you're going back home still worrying about this thing or going to bed at night worrying about this thing. So faith is calling you to release that stuff unto God and to trust God. I mean, if you can't trust God, who in the world can we trust? You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
So if you don't have that right relationship with God and knowing this God of the universe, that no matter what, he can handle it. I don't care what it is. Name the issue. Name the problem. But the thing of it is, God is able to take us through stuff. See, a lot of times we may not want to go through, but God didn't always say he was going to just erase everything out of the way for us, but that he's going to be there. And by him being there, that's where Scripture speaks about that peace that passes all understanding. And that's where all of these other attributes that God can give to us, you know, to help us with these things, to be comforted in times when we shouldn't be comforted, you know what I'm saying, to have this peace when we shouldn't have peace. But it's been releasing that stuff over to God truly by faith.
Yes, I agree on that one.
Well, also we got to look at Jesus Christ as the supreme example of us receiving the reward of faith. And if we don't worship God through his Son and have faith in his Son, like John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father but through him. By him. You got to go by Jesus first to get to the Father, so you have to develop that faith in Jesus. And faith, I break it down, is for always I trust him. And who is him? Christ, the Lord Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. And we have to have faith in him before we can. So once you have belief in him, then faith come in. And now you want to walk in faith. But see, a lot of us are present ourselves as walking in faith, and we are really not faithful to his word, because a lot of time there are many people sitting in pews on Sunday morning or in Bible study, women's groups or men's groups. They really don't know this word. They'll listen and learn audibly, but they don't get spend time and get into word to learn what the faith of Christ is.
Amen.
I said we must pray with confidence that God has heard and the answer is on the way.
Amen.
The next one is we do not ask. What do you guys say about that? We do not ask.
I think that part about we do not ask may come up as you are a beginning Christian, probably, you know, and you just haven't gotten totally to that point of recognizing that you need to ask all of God. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just thinking that it's just a immature Christian that's got to get to that point. That's how mm-hmm. I see that in the person that you're asking me.
Well, in John 15, he speaks of if you abide in me and my word abide in you, and you shall ask what ye will, it shall be done unto you. But then when you ask what you will, it is also according to God's will when he does answer that prayer. So Christ sets the standards here, if you abide in me, which is him. So he said that he glorify in the Father to bear fruit. And so you shall be my disciples. But he goes back to this, what I said about faith. We have to have faith in Christ. And the Father loves his Son. The Son loves the Father. The Father loves us. And we love the Son. We love the Father. But we can't have that commitment unless we continue in love. So if you don't love one another, love your brother, love your sister, how can you be justified in your prayer?
And that's where I come back. That's where I come back, and I agree with what you're saying, and that's when I come back to saying people that they've got to grow. They've got to grow. Mm-hmm. You know, that young baby Christian has got to grow to the point of everything that you're mentioning. You know what I'm saying? They've got to get into that word. They've got to have this conversation with God in prayer about many things. And it's just as a growth process. So I agree with what you're saying. I agree with what you're saying. But I'm just saying, you know, it's the baby Christian steps that we've got to take to get to that point.
Well, see, a lot of times the baby Christian are watching what we call the mature Christian. And the mature Christian is not setting an example. We take Job, for instance.
Right.
He had,
well, you know,
had prayers.
Yeah.
He had unpetitioned answered prayer because
mm-hmm.
Job had answers, but he wasn't given answers. But Job didn't even know why these sores and all the loss that he had came upon him, because he did not know God introduced Satan to him about Job.
Right.
And that's the problem. What I'm saying is that getting back to he was had God's favor. Now, if you're going around saying, like people will say, how you doing? Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. Now, you know, that's a statement that if you're going to make that statement, you're going to have to live that example. You're going to have to be that person that living a blessed life, talking a blessed life, walking a blessed life, you know. And like I said, and to do that, you have to live it. And when baby Christians come in, because in, I think it's 6th chapter of Hebrew, if I got it right, they talk about the mature person, the immature person on milk, the mature on meat. So when you graduate from milk to meat, now you can make the discernment between good and evil. And then when you know the term of that, then you can mentor these milk-fed new members of the body of Christ. Not the church now. I always call it the body of Christ. We all can say, we all can do church, but can you do the body?
Okay. I wanted to say here, as far as we do not ask, you know, say if you're going to the pharmacy and you're asking for medication, you got to be specific as to what medication you're going to be taking. So in asking God, we need to be specific too in the things that your needs or your wants are. You have to be specific. And in James 4 and 2, it says, I tell you, keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep seeking and you will find, keep knocking and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. I'm sorry, that is in Luke 11, 9, and 10.
Yeah.
And James 4 and 2, it says, you don't have because you don't ask.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
And
moving.
And just
okay, go ahead. Okay.
I'm sorry. I thought you had finished, but I was just saying, and just to piggyback on Deacon Chapman, and that was a good passage that he brought up about the description, you know, of the mature Christian, you know, being fed on the food and all. And it gets back to when you made the statement about sometimes a young Christian, they're not seeing what the mature Christian is doing. But the question is, even though, I mean, when you say mature Christian, and I understand based on the passage of scripture that you read, that's the correct meaning of what a true mature Christian is. But in churches today, when one might call someone a mature Christian, I mean, why would that be? Is it because, you know, that person has been in that church a certain amount of years or something, and therefore that so-called mature person is not able to respond in a way that the baby Christians should, you know, be emulating? And so I'm just saying, when you make the statement that sometimes a young Christian is looking at a mature Christian and they're not seeing them doing stuff, is that really a mature Christian they're looking at, is what we need to say? You know what I'm saying? Because a mature Christian is going to do everything that you read out of that passage about what a mature Christian is supposed to be about, you know, having the meat of God and able to do these things. And sometimes the so-called mature Christian that some are looking at is not that they really know the meat of God. It's just that they've been sitting in a God's house for a certain number of years, and to some people, that's a mature Christian. That's all that I wanted to say there.
Okay.
Well, to me, a mature Christian is someone that knows the word. They're setting example, not only just on in the church, on the program as a leader, mother of the church. But when you see that person in the world, okay, we'll go back
exactly.
to Acts 6. When the apostles told the disciples to go, the believers in that time, to go pick seven men. The first thing they say, of honest report. Now,
right.
Mean honest report means that's a report from outside of the body of believers.
Amen. And I agree with that. That's what I'm saying. I'm agreeing with the description that the Bible gives. But I was just saying that when you made that statement that sometimes a baby Christian can't get what they need because the mature Christian isn't doing the thing. But I'm saying it's not all the time that they're really looking at a mature Christian, other than the fact that that person may have been in that church for a certain length of time, or may be in this group and that group. That doesn't make you this solid, mature Christian, because you got to be into the Word of God.
That's,
you know,
not the ones I'm talking about.
So, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
I'm not talking about the synthetic, what I call synthetic.
I was just trying to stipulate here. That's all I was trying to do.
Well, the person that you see on Sunday, you will see that same person on Wednesday acting, talking the same way.
Exactly. Amen. I agree to that.
Yeah, I think all of us have been, before we knew God, when we knew God, and it's a process.
Amen.
And as long as you have your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, He's taken you, and you should be where He wants you to be.
Amen.
So we're all on different levels, but God has taken us. He's moving us forward. Where we used to be, we're not like that today, and He's taken us forward.
Amen.
All right, now we're gonna move on to the next one that's causing us not to hear from God in our prayers, and this one is wrong motive. What do you guys think about that, wrong motive?
Go ahead.
I think we're going to have to make this a part two because we don't have enough
time. Amen. We are running out of time. Hello?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Sister Faith, are you still there?
You hear me?
She comes back in. Oh, yeah. We hear you now.
Yeah, I did. I didn't know.
Okay.
Anyway, you guys have anything to say about wrong motive?
Well, praying for selfish ambition or praying for pride or immoral or certain behavior that's not consistent with the Word of God.
Yeah.
That's just like in other words, you have to have preservation and be and endurance in your prayer. And it's like a runner in a race. It's not so much that he wins, but his endurance will encourage him to finish the race. And that's what Christ was want us to do, and Paul related to us, to get the endurance to finish the race. You ain't got to be number one, but as long as you finish the race.
Yes.
And you got to be unwavering. And you just can't pray for, as I said before, selfish pride or immoral things. You got to pray for things that of growth, of spiritual growth, of craft. Because the prayer that I pray every day is, God, give me wisdom and revelation of your word and help me be guided by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of my daily prayers amongst many. And always asking God to continue to show me as you see me. And once I do that, help me to change, because I can't do it. I have to have the Spirit working in my heart to change me, because I do want to be changed, but it's a daily walk. It's a daily deliverance.
Amen.
And all I'll say about wrong motives is thank God that He knows our motives.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah.
And ask Him to strip all these things from you that's against Him.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. The motive behind your asking should always bring glory to God, as to express His love to Him, since all that you have comes from God. How can you boast as though you have not received it from Him? That's in 1 Corinthians 4:7. And my last scripture on this one is 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you will ask in my name, that will I do, and that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you will ask anything in my name, it will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments.
Amen.
That's in John 14:13-14. But we have to end now. We're going to have to make a part two on the prayer hindrances.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank you for everybody's input. And Sister Beverly, can you go ahead and close in prayer?
Amen. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, once again, as we come to the close of this session, we do praise and we do thank you, Father God, for Sister Faith coming on with this subject matter of prayer, because it is a very important thing to you, Father God. And we thank you, Father God, that you know everything when any of us come to you in prayer. You know our heart, you know our mind, you know our thoughts, you know our motives, dear Heavenly Father God. And so for that, we just praise you, Father God, for being the mighty and the awesome God that you are. We bless your name, that you are God the Father, that you are God the Son, Jesus Christ, that you are God the Holy Spirit, oh Father God. And we just thank you, Father God, for this blessed opportunity that you afford us as human beings, Father God, to be able to have a relationship with you, a relationship in prayer, Father God. a relationship where we can come and we can pray for these things that trouble us, dear Father God. We can pray on behalf of others, dear Father God. Father God, we thank you even for your precious Holy Spirit, for your word lets us know that there are times when we don't even know what to say or to pray, but that your Holy Spirit does those moanings and groanings on our behalf, oh God, because, Father God, your Holy Spirit knows exactly what should be prayed for at all times. And so we just praise and we just thank you so much. Now, Father, as we prepare, Father God, to go our separate ways once again, we just praise and we just thank you, Father God, and we just ask that you would just be with us, be with our families until we meet again. We just give to you, Father God, the praise and the glory and honor that's due your name, and I do pray this in the awesome name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died for us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all for joining us.
Amen.
You guys have a good evening and praises to the Almighty God. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And thank you all for tuning in today. God bless
you. God bless. Amen.
Bye-bye.